1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
We're joined by Bill Clutterman. Mr. Clutterman is a businessman in New Orleans, Louisiana, part of a political action committee that is a direct supporter of Ray Nagin, who is the current mayor of New Orleans, big supporter of Ray Nagin's. And I wanted to talk to Bill to get his feelings on what some people consider to be rather bizarre public commentary by Mayor Nagin, bizarre public statements, perhaps just an unconventional manner that the man has. And you've known him for a while, and welcome to our program, Mr. Clutterman, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you.
How long have you known him?
I've known Ray Nagin since he was working for Cox Communications. And
now he does. He has a broadcast background.
He does have a broadcast background. And the point I wanted to make about Ray, he is, as I said to many people, he understands how to get by, because to go along, you got to get along. And there's nothing wrong with a man who has a sense of humor. Ray Nagin worked for the Cox sisters. The Cox sisters are worth $15 billion. Now, they are old-school Southern women. And what I mean by that, Phil, is they are everything out of a Margaret Mitchell novel that you could imagine. They live together in a big house, a plantation-style house on top of a hill. And they expect a certain manner in their employees. And I'm not saying that there's not a racist bone in either one of their bodies, but Ray gets it. And when he worked for them, he understood that, I suppose, there are some African-Americans, when you're working for a couple of old-school women like the Cox sisters, you've got to affect, I guess, what we call here the black and white shuffle, or the B-movie shuffle. And that is, whatever.
What would it be, the shuffle?
No, what I mean is, it's an ingratiating style. And that's why I said to you and to others, Ray and I share an unconventional sense of humor. Because he'll walk in and I'll give him a big wink, because he knows it's a joke. I'll say, hey, boy, do I have any messages? And he'll turn around and he'll give me a big, fat wink. He says, and he'll do that, I got to be go look for the address book, sir, that kind of thing. Because he enjoys it, and it relaxes so many of the whites. And the other thing he does, he's a hell of a dancer. He puts on taps. All of these things people don't understand about him. I do. And that's why I think he's a great mayor.
He seems like a very proud man. I mean, that he would only do that with friends.
I think, oh, yeah, absolutely. But one thing you need to understand about white folks like the Cox sisters, they need to see a lot of what I've told Ray. I said, they got to see a lot of those pearly whites. You know, just give them that big grin. Yeah, like you're going to go fetch the buckboard.
All right.
That's just the way it is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. And we have on the line here a gentleman named Ray. Go ahead, Ray. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Bill Clutterman.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to call and let him know that I don't think he has any respect for this mayor.
I've known this man for 20 years. What are you talking about?
Well, for you to get on national radio and say the things that you're saying, you know, and say that you have respect for the man means that you're a friend, and a friend would never get on a radio station, national radio, and belittle the man the way you're doing.
I'm just telling you the jokes that we share together.
But see? It's not a joke. I mean, you're hurting the political career.
No. Look at Ray will say that as a gag. He'll go, yes, yeah, sir. All of that. That's just a gag.
Yeah, but it really sounds really prejudiced, really racist. I mean,
you might want to talk to him about it then, because he's in on a joke.
But he's not here. I'm talking to you.
I'm just telling you that Ray Nagin is a great mayor, and he has a role to fill. And the role is to do what he's told. You know, not do what he's told, but
tap dancing, smiling with his pearly whites. I mean, it just sounds really disrespectful.
What city are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from New York State.
All right.
Proud state of New York.
All right. Son, we are talking about a completely different part of the country. We are talking about a part of the country where there is a whole different history. And the African-American people in New Orleans, they get it. You're dealing with a couple of old ladies like the Cox sisters. You might as well go ahead and give them the big pearly white grin.
I see a strong man handling a difficult situation in difficult times where black people and white people right now should be sticking together, and a guy like you getting on a radio station and,
well,
and doing what you're doing is like undermining the whole purpose.
Oh, no, no. I'm doing it. I want you to know that Ray's got a great friend in me. And I just, he's the guy that told me, look, the best way I can to communicate with a coccyx, he's the guy that said to me, I communicate with a coccyx, so I go in and I show him a lot of teeth.
Well, if you
and
know
I
the mayor that well, why don't you get him on the line and verify, you know,
can I tell you
that,
the joke we
that
had?
It's like that.
Your name's Ray, right?
Yeah,
Ray. Ray, you know, my son's name is Raymond. Ray, I'm going to tell you, the mayor came to my office one day, and he had in his hand, he bought me a basket of cotton balls. These were cotton balls. And he
cotton
said,
balls.
Cotton balls. And he said, and I'm quoting, I done good today, sir. And we laughed. God, we laughed till we were sick.
Do you hear
yeah,
that,
in other
America,
words, like
cotton balls?
He came off the cotton field? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He was doing some kind of a
yeah, yeah, but that's the history.
Gag.
That's the history. But I hear all the time a lot of white people say, well, why won't black people forget about the past? Well, you know why? Because of the things that you're always saying. People like you are the reason why there's so much trauma and devastation and, you know.
Well, you're right about one thing. I told Ray, I said, look, I want you as mayor. There's a great number of business people in this city who want you as mayor. But you need to understand that we need
well, then,
for you
then
to...
Respect
we,
them. Let,
well,
respect
I do respect
him. Let
him,
him do what he's got
to
do.
Well,
let
you
him...
have to understand that Ray does what he does, but he also does what he's told to do by, you know...
yeah, well, he
has,
it's a chain of command, you're right.
Right.
You know, he has
and,
to do what he has to do, but,
and,
you know, I don't
a lot
really
of,
think that you,
a lot of
you
old
know,
school
really
white
know this man, and I really think that you're a fraud, really. I don't really think you really know him. And
well,
you're,
Ray,
you've
got the same problem that other guy had because you think
you know... No, I don't. No, I don't.
You know Ray Nagin.
No, I don't. No,
and
no,
you're speaking for me. I know Ray. The other day he was in my home, and he put on a chauffeur's hat, and
okay.
we were laughing until we were sick. Now you're
but
telling
you
me I don't know
from
him.
Cotton to service jobs, you know
do
the
you want
past
me to get my
stuff.
Wife
we're
on
talking
the phone?
About now. We're talking about a strong man in power, a black man in power. Are you afraid of a black man in power?
Well, you
is
show
that what it is?
Well,
you,
if you can,
you're scared?
If you can show me one, I'll. That's just
well,
a joke. That's just a joke.
You,
that's just a joke. I'm just kidding around.
What is
no,
that?
You
no,
know
I
one.
Want to know.
You
what
know
does that
one.
Mean?
The
well,
mayor of New Orleans
Ray
is, a,
Nagin,
is supposed to be someone you know.
Ray Nagin's the mayor, but he's the mayor because of certain people, so he knows.
No,
he
he's the mayor because of the power of the people.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
okay,
that's
so,
the people of New
you
Orleans.
You know what? You get a little bit older, you understand how this world works, but until then, I wish you well.
Thank
and
you.
I hope you go to school and get educated as to how
I
the world works.
I am very educated.
Well, okay. And just remember... It's not necessarily a bad thing to look at a white man, wink at him, and say,
yes, sir,
because it'll give people a couple of laughs.
Yeah, get out of here with the laughs thing. It's demeaning to some people.
Ray
exactly.
Nagin don't think it's demeaning. It got him elected mayor.
No, I don't think he was
he
elected mayor
elected
from
mayor.
Doing that. You know,
I'll tell you what
he
put him over the top, when he danced down Bourbon Street with a parasol over his head.
But you
I'll
said,
you
but
right.
he danced down Bourbon Street because you said that New Orleans was it's a party place. I mean,
you
that's what you think
it.
Of New Orleans.
You,
it's just a party place.
It's a party town.
Party town.
Party town. The only
I
place
heard
you can come and have
here
a
New York
of
State, New Orleans is a historical, you know, a place, a lot of history.
All right. Well, I got to, you know, what do I got? I've got some soup on. Do I keep talking to this guy?
Oh, look, we're going to take a break. Ray, thank you very much. What do you mean you have some soup on?
I got some Lipton soup. I don't know what you want me to do.
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Clutterman talking about Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, in ways I didn't know that he thinks it's funny to walk into his office with a basket of cotton balls and say, I done good today, sir. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking with Bill Clutterman and his relationship with Ray Nagin, mayor of New Orleans, who has gotten our attention in recent days and recent months, ever since Hurricane Katrina. And you were mentioning the fact that this man's so-called unconventional sense of humor is offensive to African-Americans, and he's a black man.
Phil, I don't know of any African-Americans in New Orleans who are offended by it. I'm hearing from a lot of African-Americans around the country. But Ray is a very, very special man. And when we get done putting our heads together, we are going to rebuild New Orleans into one of the greatest cities this world has ever seen. And I will tell you something else. I will never forget that terrible week following the storm. And I called his home. I called the mayor. And as is our custom, we kid with each other, and I called up, and I said, he knew right away who it was. I said, hey, boy. I said, is this Mayor Reagan? Mayor Nagin? He said, yes. I said, hey, boy. You know, and then I went on, you better get, go fetch me an umbrella. I said something like that. And he said to me, and I'll never forget, he said, yes, sir, that's what I gwine spect I'm going to do right now. So you see, the jokes never end with Ray. And people only see that hard-bitten side of him. But when he said, I'm going to, I gwined, you know, you don't hear that anymore. And when Mary and I were married,
I gwine. All right, look, there's people that are dying and suffering in the city of New Orleans, and this guy's doing Camptown racetrack shtick with you?
It's not shtick, Phil. It's a way that we have of communicating and just keeping a lid on everything. And you speaking of Camptown racetrack, Ray and some of his other friends who are also black, dressed up in butler outfits one night, and for our 25th wedding anniversary, he and the other gentleman serenaded Betty and I with Camptown Racetrack. Camptown Racetrack, sing this song, doo-dah, doo-dah, you know that? And it's one of, it's a southern song. And
well, what is this? Is this guy got time to be mayor?
Phil, he, yes, of course he does.
Because the things that this man is doing every time he's with you, it's one joke after the next.
It's been a very hard time, my friend, for the city of New Orleans, and you would be surprised at how valuable a good laugh is. When a guy will come in, wink at you, and say, I think the horse is better in the stalls, sir. You know, that kind of thing.
Let's go over to Chris. Chris, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil, this is Chris.
Yes,
I wanted
Chris.
To say that I do know Mr. Mayor Ray Nagin, and that he would not appreciate being called boy.
You know him?
Yes, I do.
You know him personally?
Yes, I've met him several times.
All right, Chris, why do you say your mom knows him then?
My mom worked in the Cox Communication in Baton Rouge.
Oh, so you met him?
Yeah, I met him through her.
Oh, okay. So he's not that kind of guy?
No, in fact, it's surprising to hear your call, because if he knew anything about Mayor Ray Nagin's campaign, he made a campaign of stepping on white toes.
Oh, yeah. Chris, you got to understand something. That is in order to get the black vote. No one gets elected mayor in New Orleans. No one gets elected mayor in New Orleans without making sure you've got the white money in your pocket. Now, that's all there is to it. That's business. And Ray knows that. But you have to appeal to a voter. And you certainly have to appeal to your African-American voters. But I've known Ray, and I'm white, and he knows a great deal of many white business people. And he has a good time with it. And he's got no problem doing the whole step and fetch it. Because these old-time Southerners, you're not going to sit and argue with them. Now,
well,
where are you from?
I'm from a lot of places. My dad was an Army brat, but I went to college in
all
New Orleans.
Now, here's the thing. Well, then you know New Orleans. You know how it works.
Yeah, I do know
you
New
know
Orleans.
How, you know
I
how it works down
the,
there.
Kathleen Blanco was one of those good-time Southern gals.
Well, Kathleen Blanco embarrassed herself. See, she stepped out of line. She stepped out of line. Her and Ray couldn't get their heads together on whether or not to evacuate the city. That's how stupid that whole thing got, right? I had to get
on
the
phone. No, but that whole thing started back when she was getting elected. Mayor Ray Nagin said, we don't want a good old boy as our governor. We want Bobby Jindal.
Well, let me tell you what Ray was really saying. Ray was saying we don't want a woman. That's what he was really saying, but he can't say that. Now, Ray is a wonderful guy. But do you know he can dance? No. Well, you can laugh if you want.
Well, I don't know.
What are you laughing at, boy? You think I'm... See, I just called you boy. Yeah, okay, get at it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's move on to... I don't know who we're moving. Randy here on line four. Randy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I cannot believe you. Number one, you say you're not a racist, but you don't understand the sensitivity of everything that you're saying about this man.
No, I'm talking about Ray Nagin.
Yeah, I'm talking about Ray Nagin.
All right, I'm not talking about Ray Nagin as the whole black race. I'm talking about him as a man.
You really don't understand, because what you're saying about
all these people that don't know Ray, they're calling up and telling me how he feels. I know him.
Sir, listen to what I'm saying. What I am telling you is, if indeed this is true about Ray Nagin, number one, I'm not going to vote for him. Number two, I'm
going
to email everybody that I know and make sure that they don't vote for him. So now, if this good
boy... It doesn't make any difference if you don't live in New Orleans. What difference does it make?
Sir, my whole family is from New Orleans, okay?
Well, then they probably voted for him.
My whole family is from New Orleans.
Then they probably voted for him.
Did you? You're not hearing what I'm saying. Based on what, if everything that you have just got done saying is factual and true, and I'll believe it to be so, then I can promise you, I will email each and every one of them to let them know that
but they know all this. They know all of this. The black, the black folks in New Orleans know that Ray knows how to speak the language of all the constituencies, different constituencies. You know, if I can go up to him and say, "Hey, boy, where you been?" and he said to me, "Down the crawdad hole, sir," and he's laughing. Don't you think the black people in New Orleans, they understand that this is the one way. I don't know how long you've been out of Louisiana, but I'll tell you this much. They're not a racist bone in my body. But I'll tell you,
it doesn't matter whether or not there is a racist bone in your
there's
body.
There's a guy that
said,
I've been down at the crawdad hole, and he get, and I still believe he's going to be a good mayor.
He's not going to be mayor when I get done with it. I mean, you are still stuck on this whole blackface thing, and you're painting him once again as a sellout, and that's the bottom line. You're talking about him scratching where it doesn't itch, and laughing when there's nothing funny, and that is nothing funny to me about that.
Well, you know, that's you, Randy. Randy, that is you. And it takes a whole lot of people. It takes a lot of people to make a horse race, as a man said.
Clutterman, what I am trying to tell you, and I'll say it again.
Go right ahead.
If the people did not know this, they will know this, and they will take offense to it.
What's wrong with a man having a sense of humor? What's wrong with a man saying?
Well, let's take an even further.
I go out back in the car now, sir. Listen, you know that kind of deal.
Listen, you said that he does what you try to do. I don't like that. And they're not going to like it either, because our views may not coincide.
Don't you know how politics? Don't you know how politics works?
Make a decision based on the facts presented to him.
This boy doesn't know.
No, let's watch the boy thing.
No, I mean this young man doesn't know how politics works. You don't, son. You don't get elected mayor of a city and not take orders from the money. It doesn't happen.
You know what?
It doesn't happen.
What I am trying
name
to
one mayor.
You.
Name one mayor in this country who doesn't take orders from the money. Go ahead.
But you're not listening.
Some
things are better left unsaid, or at least don't have to go and advertise a position in this matter.
All I'm saying is Ray knows what a roll of 20s looks like, just like any other man. Ray knows what a roll of 100s look like.
Are you saying that Ray Nagin's on the take?
He's not on the take. No, he's on the payroll.
You said it. You absolutely
Ray's on the payroll.
You told me that he does what you tell him to do.
Of course.
He knows where his bread is butter.
Of course he does. Of course he does. A boy will do what I tell him to do.
What's with the boy thing?
Oh,
so you just said boy.
It's a gag.
A gag. You're not talking to Ray.
You are so sick. And you have you ever heard of anything called political correctness or anything like that?
Oh, come on. That's for you people in California. That's not for me.
If you are a white man, my goodness gracious, these white folks all around the country have been fighting to change their image.
Hey,
and they have been fighting to do the right, and you're just bringing them down, partner.
You want to have a laugh, come down to New Orleans, join Mayor Nagin and I. We'll get on a city bus, and he will immediately go to the back and sit down and go, "Get me. I'm Rosa Parks." This is how he made his name. And
get me on Rosa Parks.
Do you think that is funny?
He does. If Ray thinks it's funny, I think it's funny. See?
Then there seriously something. You're sick, mister. Sick.
I'm sick? Look,
yeah, you are.
Listen, well, if I'm sick, I want to die rich.
I'm starting to feel sorry for you, and I don't even know if I should even broadcast it, but I still am.
Well, here's what I want you to do.
And I can promise you, his career is over if anything you said is true.
You get in touch with your people, your family in New Orleans. You ask them if Ray ain't one of the funniest clowns. And the other thing that he does that I think is very effective is the way that when he goes up to the Cox sister's house and he comes up on certain days in a carriage that's drawn by a horse and he's got a...
Well, are you kidding me?
Yeah, understand that even if that is true, you should not be on public radio telling things that maybe go on between he and you. Stupid! Stupid!
You better back it down a notch. Because the money with the money I got, I make eminent domain some of your family's property in New Orleans.
Son,
you don't want
I make
that.
Money too. Is that even an issue here?
I'll turn your parents' house into a bowling alley.
Mr. Clutterman, we've got to go.
No, I'm not going to. This young man has called me some kind of a... I don't know what he did. He called me...
You're an idiot. I said you're an idiot.
He called me an idiot. I forgot.
Yeah.
You
see? You can't even remember.
So Ray dressing up as a coachman. You don't dig that.
Oh, my goodness.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We may have Vernon Dozier later in the program, depending upon Mr. Dozier's availability, but for sure he will be with us tomorrow night. Vernon Dozier, a gentleman cited by the San Diego County Sheriff for cruelty to animals because he killed a African gray parrot that his wife, his ex-wife, had taught to say some pretty insulting things. So it's a very strange story here where it's not the parrot's fault. And he knew it wasn't the parrot's fault, but somehow the parrot wound up dying for the things it was saying to Mr. Dozier after being taught them by Mr. Dozier's ex-wife. And as I say, we are hoping to have him on later in the program. If not, definitely with us tomorrow here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, where our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, welcoming the great city of Phoenix to our affiliates list. And we've got a few more. Minneapolis is on board. Although the show is tape delayed in Minneapolis, and so I wish I could say to you, welcome to our family, Minneapolis, but you're not hearing me. You're not hearing me at all. You won't hear me till tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, I may not feel that. You know, that may not be my sentiment. Tomorrow night, I may hate your living guts and not want you on our affiliate list, and I'll be going, oh, hi, welcome, and it'll be a lie, a filthy lie. You see, today's great idea is only a good idea tomorrow. And hold on for a minute. Even morning shows in, San Antonio ain't doing rim shots anymore.
I want the rim shots because it's the only way you're going to sell that bit. Now, I told you about that.
I ain't doing this bit for laughs.
Phil, I am telling you to do this bit. Mr. Henry, I'm telling you to do the California inmate bit. The way that you said you wanted to do it. That's all I'm asking you to do, Phil. I don't want, with new listeners on board, to have an incident here.
I don't think it's funny at all.
I am telling you to do it with the rim shots the way I told you.
California.
Start again.
California executed its oldest condemned inmate early Tuesday for arranging a triple murder 25 years ago to silence witnesses in another killing. Clarence Ray Allen was pronounced dead by lethal injection at 12:38 a.m. at San Quentin State Prison, less than an hour after his 76th birthday ended at midnight. Allen was legally blind, nearly deaf, and in a wheelchair.
See?
See what?
Okay, you know something? I'm telling you that there's people out there pissing themselves. Well, excuse me for using that language, but they are leaking urine. And
you might as well just say the other word.
Don't tell me. Do it again.
Oh, come on, Dad.
Do it again!
Clarence Allen was pronounced dead by lethal injection at 12:38 at San Quentin. Mr. Allen was legally blind, nearly deaf, and in a wheelchair.
That's beautiful! Even that crap way you were reading it, you can't help but laugh. Right, bud?
You're pretty good.
See? Okay, forget it. What a pain in the ass you are. You know something? I only hope that when you are out of this business and you're walking around on a street someplace looking for half-smoked butts, that you remember I was trying to give you some advice. You going to say anything?
What's the advice? That I had to put rim shots at the end of everything and it'll be funny?
It helps.
That was David G. Hall.
You know what? I hope, you know, that's it. I hope you burn in hell. I hope you burn in hell and then come back to life and then burn again.
Sorry.
You should have done what you said.
Don't tell me what to do. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, Bob Bakian is joining us with some breaking news. Bob, go right ahead. Bob Bakian with the Phil Hendry Show. What do you got?
Well, we've got information that apparently just a half an hour ago, Bill O'Reilly, the host of the
the television segment on Fox News, as well as the host of his own radio show, Bill O'Reilly, was apparently raped by two men in the parking garage at Fox. Our understanding is he was approached, engaged in conversation, and the two men then began removing his pants. And this is the news.
Oh, my God.
This is the news we have, that Bill O'Reilly has officially been raped in a parking garage. Now, New York City police are not commenting at this time, but apparently O'Reilly was interviewed wearing a blanket around his shoulders and visibly shaken. This is Bob Bacon. I've got one more thing that I want to say to you, Phil.
Go ahead.
I'm only kidding. Just kidding. It's just a joke news bit. And thanks for that. Bob Bacon, Phil Henry Show Deals.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I want to thank Bill Clutterman for being on the program today. I also want to tell those of you who are new to this program that you cannot possibly understand what you're hearing. It's impossible to listen to this show once, twice. Well, certain people can understand what they're hearing fairly quickly, but most people who are talk show listeners think they understand this program and they don't. So what you need to do is go to our website and sort of get a lay of the land a little bit. And it's www.philhenryshow.com. You can check into our souvenir shop there, and we've got some things for Phil Hendry fans. We got a Bobby Dooley's brand new T-shirt. Bobby is the president of the Homeowners Association of Western Estates. You heard her on our program in recent times. And Bobby has the new Deo Tank Spa. And this is a cool-looking tank top of pink with Bobby's logo on the front. And chicks wear it, you know, my love and touch. So just get that tank top, whip that thing on, get your husband a beer, and it'll be just ever so much fun. And while you're at our souvenir shop, we hope you'll pick up our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 CD. It's entitled, Are You For Real? All the Money Goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Tomorrow morning, I got a 7:45 a.m. call to go out to our first week of rehearsal for the new TV show Teachers. And we did our first table read, which is where the actors sit and they read the script, and all of the producers, every heavy hitter that you could possibly imagine is sitting out in the audience, all staring at you and laughing to make you feel better, even if it isn't funny. And so we did that. I'm sure that it was funny. I thought it was funny. And then all of the actors got together and we went into the commissary over there at CBS Radford, drank coffee and worried about our careers. So it was so much fun. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. But 7:45 noon, it's going to be some long work days. When I get here, please forgive me if I have swallowed handfuls of Dexedrine. Please forgive me. Because I may get a drug habit out of this week. The next 6 weeks? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be flying high. Watch him, man. Watch him. He's high on Sneaky Pete wine. Because I'm going to have to get jacked up, man. And that Starbucks ain't getting it done no more. You know what, Starbucks? Why don't you just close it up and call it a day, okay? I'm getting so sick and tired of your coffee, I could vomit it. I could vomit endless buckets of Starbucks. Every Starbucks I've ever drank going back to... When's the first time I went into Starbucks? I can't even remember. There I am, standing in line with every other lemming, every other schmuck, waiting for my sugar fix. Because that's what it is. Standing there waiting for the big Starbucks coffee. I drink four of these things a day, and I just as soon blow my brains out. God! The other day I go in there, there's a couple of cops getting coffee. I wanted to say to them, not you guys, too. Anyway, so it's going to be a kind of a tough week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope you guys will be with us through the episodes of Teachers. You know, NBC's got Friends, and they had Frasier, and they had Scrubs. Now they got Teachers. And we have an outstanding director by the name of Jim Burrows, and he's going to come in and watch the show because he's listened to the show. He's a fan of the show. I also mentioned Jeff Jagodzinski is a fan of the show, the O-line coach or the offensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. Jimmy Kimmel bought me a bottle of wine, so I'm bitching. Time now for email on The Phil Hendry Show. This is from Brad Fino. Phil, since this week seems to be Associate Producer Spank Bank Appreciation Week, what he's talking about is go to our website, check out Chris Norton's Babe of the Week. It's Michelle, our producer. And it's Spank Bank. Well, yeah. He says, I thought it only appropriate for you to put this picture up on the website so all of her fans can see what they missed out at the CD signing and be so, oh, so very jealous about it all in that sadistic Herb Sewell laugh kind of way. Now, I didn't see your picture, Brad, because how can it be cooler than her laying on the floor with, you know, her butt up in the air, man? Thanks for the laughs and all that good stuff. Brad Fino. Thanks, Brad. I think I got your picture someplace, brother, but not hers. All right. This is from John Burkett. Chris Norton's right. Michelle Hernandez is a cutie. I bet you have to keep yourself in a chair under the desk. I was wondering when Jay Santos was going to open a branch of his squad in Nebraska. We could use him here. His squad. Maybe you ought to call it the Nebraska Volunteer Police Squad. As always, thanks for making me laugh. I truly appreciate it. Best wishes on the TV show, John Burkett. Thank you, John. Dear Phil, I totally dig your show. I have a burning question inside. Who's comb-over boy? Tom Likas. Real putz. And he doesn't know it. Oh, it's sad. Oh, God, it's sad. Oh, God, it's sad. Yes, it's sad. Combs doesn't know he's lame. Comb over boy doesn't know he's lame. Dear Phil, I am a... Woo, yeah. Dear Phil, and the sadder thing is fans don't know it either. His fan doesn't know he is either. Dear Phil, I'm a 26-year-old radio veteran. I'm a 26-year radio veteran turned voiceover talent for television and radio, and I must say I've decided to up my freaking truck insurance because you damn near killed me on the drive off the road in Oklahoma City while listening to Elliot Vanier. You're killing me. Those are the jocks I used to work with that either committed suicide, died of AIDS, and he spelled it AIDES. Come on, man, you are putting me on, right? Or are now selling used cars or insurance in some schmuck town someplace. By the way, speaking of schmucks, the Freak GM here for WKYAM, first station west of the Mississippi, decided last week to pull the plug on the talk format for a Spanish music polka format. What is your name, sir? Steve? Isn't this marvelous email? Phil, I thought long and hard about how I could compliment your mugshot displayed on your skull-shaking drive-umentary, and the only thing that kept coming back to me was, I wonder where that nose has been parked. Thanks, Krista. Ooh, yeah, baby. Wouldn't you like to know? This is from Lawrence. Lawrence, Phil, while listening to Howard Stern's show on Sirius, I thought of an observation about his new announcer, George Takei from Star Trek. I talked with my friend Matthew about my observation. He thinks the same thing. Is my brain filled up with your show, or does George Takei sound like Herb Sewell? Oh, wow. Well, I haven't heard George on Howard's show yet. Let's get Herb on the line, shall we? Can you call him, bud?
Who?
Herb Sewell, call him.
Who?
Herb Sewell, call him.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Give me the phone.
Oh, Herb Sewell.
Yes, you jackass. Now look at the hours. Okay, we'll get Herb Sewell on the line and find out if he does sound like George Takei from Howard's show. P.S. Feel free to call me a jackball. I can take it. No, it's a fairly cool idea. And if Mr. Takei is listening, Herb Sewell is a convicted child molester who did 8 years and was chemically castrated. Thank you. By the way, I understand that who's the guy that played the little Russian guy, Walter Koenig? I heard he paid for one of our webcasts once and wanted his money back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.